College campus presents a tremendous temptation for the girl who may have managed to escape physical relations up to that point. Here we have the situation of the roommate, and if the roommate happens to experience physical relations, then she will begin to describe her experiences with her roommate, and this becomes a tremendous temptation which can arouse much more than the curiosity and the imagination. St. Paul says that good ethics, good morals, are destroyed by bad company. Our young goyims today do not want to accept that they will become much like the people that they associate with. At a recent retreat, we were trying to explain that bad company corrupts good character, and the general consensus of this very young Orthodox Christian high school group was, I will not give up my friends just because they want to live a certain way. They want to drink, have sex, smoke, and do a number of things. They are still my friends. I have to accept them as they are. Yes, but their passions and the demons who are behind their passions will not accept you as you are, at least not for very long. You will become influenced. Unfortunately, it requires humility and wisdom to see these things, and these two qualities are not on the top of the list of today's Pepsi and MTV generation. Generally speaking, for young ladies who profess Christ, who are considered spiritual, let it be known that football games, homecoming games, hanging out after these games, after school hangouts, bowling alleys, driving theaters, all these environments will undermine the spiritual makeup of the young person. Disaster is just waiting to happen. Again, how many young ladies lost their purity after the victory of the homecoming game or at the high school prom where alcohol or drugs may be used? It is known that even a small quantity of alcohol will reduce the resistance of a young lady, and the boys know this very well. Alcohol is the great seducer. It hands over countless people to sin, especially young women who may have exercised control for a certain period of time. Another sign of moral independence is cigarette smoking among young girls. When a boy begins to smoke, he wants to show that he is of age, how he is now a man. He's independent regardless if he has to beg for change from his mother to buy cigarettes. But smoking makes him feel independent. Or he may even come to the point of picking pocketbooks at home to buy cigarettes. And of course, young girls want to follow suit, not to be outdone. So they will also smoke to claim their independence, their freedom. I'm free to do what I want. No one rules over me. In reality, this is a great bondage that sends many people to their grave. How many girls will continue to smoke while pregnant, endangering the health of the baby? We know how modern medicine feels about smoking. Girls will most likely begin to smoke to fit in, especially if the boyfriend smokes. Then the girl will smoke to be equally cool. What can we say about drugs? If the boyfriend is a drug user, we will soon find his unfortunate girlfriend trying different drugs. I hope all of our young listeners understand these things. And how do I hope that our young Orthodox people never forget these things? We will mention something from some recent statistics. One of 100 people that try cigarettes one time, 70% will eventually become smokers. If someone smokes hash one thyme, or marijuana, which are considered light drugs, they are always in danger that at some point they will repeat the use of narcotics. If some boy or girl would want to stay away from drugs after they got involved, they have to safeguard themselves in every possible way. We know people, young people that are in that situation, and their life is that of a roller coaster, totally out of control. I have witnessed people going through rehabilitation programs. The success rate is very low, even after the taxpayers foot a $15,000 to $20,000 bill for a 30-day period. Another cause for strong sexual temptation for young people is the ever-so-popular slow dancing. And these dances are the brainchild of the Great Babylon, or America, and Europe, and generally the Western civilization, which in our times represent Babylon the Great, according to the book of the Revelation, which says, Babylon the Great has fallen, it has fallen. So these terrible seductive dances are now the norm. And as we mentioned at some other talks, they are even accepted in our church communities, dances, picnics, and camps. The fact is that these dances will soon undo any type of spiritual deposits that we may have accumulated. These dances are destructive, truly destructive to any person that would like to live a life of purity. It is significant that Mr. Faulkner, an LA area dance teacher and dance studio owner, has made this very revealing statement that two-thirds of the girls that lose their virginity and their purity do so through the influence of dancing. The emotional excitement shared with their dance partner will be more than most girls can handle. Our young ladies must also understand that succeeding in purity is very possible and not a myth. A pure young lady can dream about an equally pure young man, and in the near future, they can give this great gift of purity to each other, a precious gift. If a girl has the Spirit of God, will surely understand all of what we have said, and she will live by them. Again, it is a matter of faith in the Word of God. Some people, even parents, may argue this point that a girl who avoids these environments, avoids going out with guys, will risk her chance of getting married, being that she may be inexperienced and so on. We could safely say that when a young man looks to settle down, as the saying goes, these are the girls that are considered first, even by the boys who did not live a life of purity. They will prefer a girl who has blameless reputation, and this is the truth. And now we will mention a few things about the boy, and we will not necessarily look at the subject from a moral or ethical point of view, since we already have done this, but we will concentrate on some practical and technical information which will certainly be very useful in the future of our young gentlemen. Naturally, at the age of 18, a young man is biologically mature. He could start a family and have many children. St. John the Chrysostom, and this is very, very interesting, the Holy Father talks about marriage, suggesting to the young men to get married before they are drafted in the army. What seems to be of great concern to the Holy Father is the possibility of the young soldier falling victim to immorality. And regardless of the other benefits of marriage, he looks this avoidance of sin as a great issue, feeling that a married young man would be in much greater position to fight this temptation of immorality. We see here that St. John's deep concern was the salvation of the person. This is what had him ablaze. He burned for the salvation of his people. In addition, the Holy Father points out that it is also better emotionally for a person to get married young. As we know, when people reach 30, 40, 50, then they rationalize so much that they have seen so much, they have tried it all, and their movements may lack spontaneity. They become very set in their ways, as we say. They are drained emotionally. In some cases, they have a deep-rooted psychology of being a bachelor. The fact remains that it is best for a person to consider marriage at a relatively early age. However, the subject of the age or the time cannot be based solely on the biological or emotional elements. There are also some other factors, especially the sociological factors, which vary from generation to generation and from place to place. In our Western civilization, the criteria of marriage are normally sociological in nature. Today, a young man will generally need to complete his goal of higher education, at least finish college or get a degree. Most young people today will pursue some form of education, being a trade or a professional career, and this demands some time period. So after the completion of education, well, now we have the necessity of landing the proper career and establishing ourselves financially. We all know that a degree today does not guarantee financial success, and it may take a good amount of time for a person to solidify their income. Realistically speaking, all the above pressures make it difficult for someone to jump into marriage right after high school. And a time of marriageable age gets pushed higher and higher. Now, if the young man respects God and respects himself, he must wait with much patience and purity until the time of his marriage. If a young man chooses not to continue his education, and he has learned a trade or he's involved in a family business, why not get married young? Again, this is not the norm, because the majority of the young men who realize that marriage is quite a few years in the future, they must not allow their heart and their senses to be held hostage, to be captivated at a time of social immaturity. If they don't watch this, then they will be forced into an early marriage, and this can be somewhat difficult when we're heading for marriage at the age of 18 because we are right for each other and we love each other. The young man in this situation will find himself in more hot water than a tea bag if he does not listen to sound advice and he continues to insist in going through with his decision. Technically speaking, this would be very difficult, and this is what we want. We want to stress for our young men to not let their eyes and their senses and their minds and their imagination and their heart to be preoccupied with the opposite sex, since they are not ready and prepared socially. Now, a young man may say that, well, I met a nice young lady, and we understand our responsibilities. We know that we must wait, so we will go out together, and we'll wait for each other when we are ready, then we will get married. Two possibilities exist here from the experience of most young people. Our young people are inexperienced, and when we tell them this or that could happen, they cannot understand or they don't believe it could happen to them. Again, lack of humility. The first possibility is that after the two young friends continue their relationship for a long period of time, they will fall victims to physical relations. The second possibility is that if this relationship continues for years, 2, 3, 4, 5 years, either one individual will begin to sense a feeling of unsettledness, a feeling of exhaustion, a feeling of being in limbo, especially for the young lady who may be seeing some of her friends being married, and impatience may set in. In any case, this can strain the relationship in the long term. Statistically, because of this anxiety created over the waiting period, especially over a long engagement, the couple often finds itself in an unhappy marriage, and the rate of divorce is very high in these situations. We see something similar in the people of the world who will live together for a number of years, and eventually they will get married. The rate of divorce, according to a report from the University of Wisconsin, is 60% higher. The rate of divorce among couples that live together have a 50% higher rate than the ones who did not live together. So assuming that the national average of divorce is now, let's say, at 50-60%, the national average of people that live together is much higher than that, 50% higher than the people that got married without living together. So people that took the time to know each other very well have very little to look forward to, and the newness and the infatuation has worn off, and the wedding will have very, very little to offer in terms of excitement. So it is not to the best interest for our young men to search and try to find their mate from their high school years. Again, we are addressing spiritual people here. We're talking to Christians. This information would be laughed at, and it would mean nothing to someone who does not believe in Christ. So let's always keep this in mind, that this information is only for young people who have God in their life. And St. Paul says everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. So we hope for our spiritual young people to keep these things in mind as they are going through these difficult years. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and the cure becomes very difficult in some of these situations. The young man will concentrate on his work, and his work may be college and certainly preparing for a better future, and that's all. There's a story about a young man in Athens many, many years ago who met a young lady, and he told her that he was at his last year in the school of shipping, and he was going to be away for 1 year, and then he would return to marry her. So the young man left. Never send a single letter, let alone a phone call. And after a year, he came back, and the young lady was very, very happy to see him and wanted to know how was his trip. "What trip?" he said. "I was here all the time. I simply wanted to finish my school. And I finished my school, and now I'm back." Yes, his priority at that given time was finishing his school. This behavior may seem harsh to us today, or extreme. This may explain why so many people drop their studies halfway through, not out of lack of intelligence, but out of their lack of understanding priorities. "Now, I am a student. This costs money. Colleges are very expensive today. So I will study. I will finish in 4 or 5 years. Then I will start my career, and after that, I will look for someone to be married with." Now, let's be careful of the other extreme, which is waiting and waiting until we have X amount of dollars, a house, a car, a boat, and a helicopter, because we may forget to get married altogether. In Ecclesiastes, the Word of God says that there's a time for everything. They even made a secular song out of these verses, which says that there's a time to laugh, a time to cry, a time to be born, a time to die, and so on. So we must wait for the proper time to act, and we will not force this proper time. We will not neglect it either. We hope to be of some help to our young people with these words. And now, with the help of St. Paul, we will specify the different types of bodily sins. Unfortunately, many people today feel that it is quite natural and expected for young people, especially boys, to be sexually active. Many of them have no clue that they may be sinning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, St. Paul warns us, "Do not be deceived, nor fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor male prostitutes will inherit the kingdom of God." Again, we will make an appeal to the religious educators and all Sunday school teachers and parents to teach and point out these things and these scriptures to the children, and the earlier the better. As early as 11 and 12 years of age, they need to be taught some of these realities before they learn them in the street. And as we know, the street has very little regard for the Word of God and the Bible. Again, an ounce of prevention is worth much more than a pound of cure, especially in our days when cure is not always possible. Yes, these are difficult subjects. They tend to make us uncomfortable and uneasy. Both St. John the Chrysostom and St. Basil used to say, "I hesitate to talk, but I cannot ignore these issues either." Again, these are very touchy subjects, and it is always easier to avoid them and push them onto someone else. The end result being that our youngsters will not know how to position themselves in the wide open path that the world has paved for them. So we will talk about adultery even at the Sunday school level, long before marriage. Adultery is the sin of the presence of a third person in the sacrament of marriage. God says for two people, the man will leave his father and his mother and cling to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And no one can separate this bond, and in doing so will be sinning very heavily against the couple and against God. It is the sin that ultimately destroys the sacrament of marriage. The sacrament of marriage is an image of a greater mystery, the great mystery of the union of Christ and the Church. But we will continue next week with the theology of marriage.